This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio, and you can also listen to us live online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news read by Vaughan Savage.
The government has ordered an independent review in response to the manipulation by Barclays of a key lending rate between banks. The inquiry, which will begin next week, will focus on the future operation of the LIBOR rate, which is used to price some mortgages and credit card loans. It will examine whether criminal prosecutions should be brought against those who try to fix it. Ministers want the review to be completed by the summer in order that they can amend the Financial Services Bill. Egypt's first freely elected leader, Mohamed Morsi, has been sworn in as president. Mr. Morsi, who's from the formerly banned Muslim Brotherhood, promised to respect the constitution and the rule of law. The international mediator Kofi Annan has appealed for a united response from world powers as they meet in Geneva to try to tackle the escalating conflict in Syria. Speaking before the meeting, the Foreign Secretary, William Hague, said it would be very difficult to reach an agreement with Russia and China. Hundreds of rail engineers are working to repair tracks damaged in the recent flooding in northern England. The Environment Secretary, Caroline Spelman, is visiting the northeast to see the impact of the bad weather on homes and businesses. The Chinese President Hu Jintao has been shielded from demonstrators as he tours Hong Kong to mark the 50th anniversary of the territory's handover from Britain. The police briefly detained a reporter who shouted a question about the crushing of the democracy movement at Tiananmen Square in 1989. Events are being held across the UK to mark Armed Forces Day. In Plymouth, members of all three services have marched through the city as part of a parade. In a mark of respect, the Olympic flame was taken through the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. The torch was carried by Corporal Johnson Bihari, one of the few people to receive the military's highest award for valour, the Victoria Cross. The weather: there'll be heavy rain in much of England, Wales and southern and central Scotland. It will be a breezy day for many, with some bright spells. The BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
And it was read by Vaughan Savage. Time now on Radio 3 for today's early music show, which is introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
OK, you can stop tapping your feet now. Gosh, if only dancing was still like that. What we heard was a bourée, originally a French dance, whose character was described by Handel's biographer Matheson as being carefree and relaxed. And I guess we could all do with a bit of that from time to time. That particular bourée is probably the best known of all the dance tunes, all 300 of them, in a collection by the German composer Michael Pretorius. He called it Terpsichore, in honour of one of the Greek muses who was said to have delighted in dancing. Mind you, she's usually depicted sitting down holding a lyre, which seems to be a bit of a cop-out, doesn't it? So Michael Pretorius is the focus of today's show. And whilst it is perhaps his dance music that's heard mostly these days, in his time he was actually far better known as a composer of Lutheran church music. That's all good stuff too, though, and we're going to hear some of it a bit later on. But first, more dancing and three versions of that most energetic form of the Terpsichorean art, the Valtar, which incidentally was just a little risque in 16th century terms, since on the third beat, the man of the couple had to grab the lady with both hands and throw her into the air, which must have sorted out the men from the boys.
Thank you.
New London Consort, directed by Philip Pickett, with three lively voltas from Michael Pretorius's dance compendium Terpsichore, published 400 years ago in 1612. So who exactly was Michael Pretorius? Well, he was born in central Germany in 1571 as Michael Schulz, the youngest son of a Lutheran pastor in Kreuzberg. Pretorius was the conventional Latinized version of his name, which does seem to give him a sort of gravitas, doesn't it? And it's particularly appropriate for a composer of church music, which is what we're going to hear next. In fact, it was in this area that Pretorius first got going. He studied divinity and philosophy at the University of Frankfurt an der Oder, where he also served as organist at the city's Marienkirche. He then became organist to the Duke of Brunswick-Lüneburg, and later his Kapellmeister at the court of Wolfenbüttel. The old palace is still there, but over the years the various dukes upgraded it, removing the old medieval moat and fortifications to give it the fashionable look of the high Baroque. So it was here that Pretorius began to compose in earnest, chorale tunes to be sung in church in the Lutheran tradition he'd been brought up with. Chorales have been part of that tradition for nearly 500 years now, ever since Martin Luther introduced singing as part of the central philosophy of the Reformation. It was a rather revolutionary idea that we can certainly relate to these days, a sort of audience participation so that the congregation could feel more personally connected with the ritual rather than just communicating with the Almighty via a priest. Most importantly, though, Luther now got them singing in their own German language, instead of the unintelligible Latin they'd been used to. Pretorius was obviously much in sympathy with all this, and he soon became one of the best exponents of the German chorale, as we'll hear now.
Come to earth.
The New York Cornet and Sackbut Ensemble with Michael Pretorius's chorale setting of Nun komm der Heiden Heiland. Chorales, then, were a potent symbol of the new Protestant faith, and they made a political statement too. Martin Luther, who, as it happens, had taught Pretorius's father, encouraged chorale singing amongst the general public as a way of spreading religious propaganda. Sometimes protesters would even infiltrate Catholic churches and start singing them loudly to disrupt the services. It all sounds very modern, doesn't it? And Pretorius was deeply aware of this history and saw his own chorales as a way of linking himself with his Lutheran heritage, much like Bach was to do some 100 years later. In this next set, we're going to hear from both composers. The music comes from a disc made a few years ago by the Huelgas Ensemble, which highlights comparisons between them. We're going to hear Pretorius first, and then the same text, but this time set by Bach, and finally Pretorius again to end the set. So to start, mit Fried und Freud ich fahr dahin, Martin Luther's version of the canticle Nunc Dimittis, sung by the aged Simeon as he prepares himself for death. In peace and joy I now depart, according to God's will.
Thank you.
Burgos Ensemble, conducted by Paul Van Nevel, with chorale settings by J.S. Bach and Michael Pretorius. It's relatively simple music, written for all to sing in the Lutheran services in the newly reformed Germany. And I think you really can hear a connection, a similar musical approach between the two composers, although they are a century apart. But of course, even in the Lutheran Church, there was room for other more complex music. And for this, at the turn of the 17th century, German composers looked to Venice for inspiration, particularly to the works of Giovanni Gabrieli, who had the brilliant idea of having a double choir at St. Mark's, where he worked, almost a sort of surround sound with the singers placed on opposite sides of the basilica. It had a ravishing effect, and Michael Pretorius was up there amongst the very first composers to put this Venetian style into practice in Germany. And it certainly helped to make his name. Let's hear what I think is one of his most expressive and modern church motets. It's from his vast nine-part collection of choral music called Musae Zionii, which contains a mixture of the simple Lutheran chorales, like we've just heard, and some much more intricate writing in the Italian style, although still in the German language. Christus, der uns selig macht, is an eight-part setting of a text which comments on the Passion of Christ. It's sung here by the boys of the Cathedral and Abbey Church of St. Albans, with the Early Music Consort of London, conducted by David Munro.
Thank you.
David Munro conducted the boys of the Cathedral and Abbey Church of St Albans and the Early Music Consort of London in that motet by Michael Pretorius, Christus der Unselig Macht. You're listening to the Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping. And in today's programme, I'm focusing on Michael Pretorius's life and music. When his noble employer, the Duke of Brunswick, unexpectedly died in 1613 while on a business trip to Prague, Pretorius was kept on by his successor. However, not being one to hang around, he arranged to spend his official year of mourning in Dresden as a musician to the Elector of Saxony, being some 250 miles away, which can't be funny in a bumpy horse-drawn carriage. It was hardly practical for Pretorius to pop back to see how things were going at Brunswick Palace. And this 1 year in Dresden eventually turned into three. One of his main responsibilities was to take charge of all the music for religious festivals. And as you might expect, Christmas was a particularly busy time, with new works required for all the seasonal services and celebrations. In fact, Pretorius produced so much of this sort of thing that these days his name is frequently associated with all things Christmassy. Here's the Bremer Baroque Consort with a carol from their album Pretorius at Christmas that needs no introduction. the Bremer Baroque Consort, directed by Manfred Cordes, with that festive setting of the Latin text In Dulci Jubilo by Michael Pretorius, who's the focus of today's early music show. It's funny to think that as a visiting Kapellmeister at the Dresden court, Pretorius was actually in a superior position to another composer there, the great Heinrich Schütz, who's since become far better known to us. I guess that may be because these days Pretorius is mainly known for his dance music and his popular Christmas pieces from the early part of his career, rather than the more complex works he came up with later. Like this next piece, for instance, which comes from his gigantic project entitled Polyhymnia Caduceatrix et Panegyrica. That's hymns of peace and festivals in lots of parts to you and me. Its publication marked the centenary of the Reformation in 1617, and it was certainly an ambitious undertaking. Pretorius made plans for a whopping 15 volumes in all, although in the end, partly due to his ill health, only three of them were published, with just 40 individual works in all. His aim, though, was to unite the old with the new. And so, apart from a few exceptions, we find Lutheran chorales combined with some of the very latest features of Italian music. Techniques that Pretorius had learned about from poring over the many Italian manuscripts and prints that he had on his shelves. So that's a bit of background. Now let's hear some music. This text was written for a grand assembly of electors in Naumburg, and it certainly seems rather apt for such a powerful posse keen to make political alliances. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sehr wie fein und lieblich ist by Michael Pretorius, La Cappella Ducale and Musica Fiata, directed by Roland Wilson. Rather conveniently for us broadcasters who like to commemorate anniversaries at both ends, as it were, Pretorius died on his 50th birthday, that is, the 15th of February 1621. No pauper's grave for him, though. He'd made his name in the courts of the rich and mighty and was entombed in what had been his main place of work for nearly 30 years, St Mary's Church in Wolfenbüttel, in a vault directly beneath the organ. The more sentimental of us might imagine him still listening to the instruments sounding from the floor above. Not that it's the very organ he played, of course, the current one dates from the mid-20th century, but perhaps it's still churning out a few of the old tunes. Pretorius left us with more than 1,000 chorale and hymn settings, even more large-scale works for the Lutheran Church, Magnificats, Masses and Motets, and, of course, those 300 lovely instrumental dances from his Terpsichore collection. And we're going to hear some more of them to end today's programme. A selection of brawls played by the Richikar Ensemble for Alte Musik, Zurich. Thank you.
5, Branleur from Michael Pretorius's Terpsichore, and they were played there by the Ricercari Ensemble of Zurich. And those dances end. Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. On tomorrow's programme, Lucy will be back to present a concert from Durham Cathedral, featuring music by John Taverner, alongside winners of the 2012 Radio 3 National Centre for Early Music Composers Award. That's tomorrow's Early Music Show at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news. Well, a few details now of a programme next week over on BBC Radio 4.
Oh, look at that. Ooh. These eels are writhing about.
The eel needs our help.
Moving fish from where they're going to almost certainly die and taking them where they can access our wetlands.
I don't know, how many eels do you think we've released so far?
Only about 1,000.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh. That's really nice.
Open Country returns to meet eels and the people helping to save this precious and mysterious creature. Open Country on Thursday afternoon at 3 over on BBC Radio 4.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 2 o'clock. And now a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall in London. It's introduced by Fiona Talkington.
The trio Wanderer is no stranger to our lunchtime concerts, and so it's nice to be able to join them as they celebrate 25 years together this year. They met while they were students at the Paris Conservatoire in the 1980s, and they chose a name for themselves which linked them closely to the German Romantics. But they say their years together have been something of a journey, exploring everything from Haydn to contemporary music. Beethoven is their choice today, his Archduke trio in about a quarter of an hour, and before that his variations on an original theme, Opus 44, a set of variations by the 22-year-old Beethoven, the simple theme giving plenty of opportunity for exploration throughout the 14 variations. The theme itself was long thought to be one of Beethoven's own, but it turns out apparently that it comes from an opera popular a few years earlier by Dittersdorf. And here are the members of the trio Wanderer now, the pianist Vincent Koch, the violinist Jean-Marc Philippe Spajar-Bedien, and the cellist Raphael Pidoux to play Beethoven's variations in E-flat, Opus 44.